At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're so coy, alluring, angel with a wicked smile, sleeping 20 hours a day, never lay a paw on dusty clay. I'll keep your litter natural, no chemicals in your nostrils, just corn below, so every time you go, you'll know your shh don't stink.
World's best cat litter for the world's best cat.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 201 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns this week out to review the Mexican Grand Prix in what was a weirdly good but boring race all at the same time. Of course, as always, I'm joined by JB183. How are we doing, sir?
I'm good. Yes, as the resident Max Verstappen fan, I'm not in the best mood after that race, to be honest, but we'll get into that later. But yes, if you haven't seen the race, obviously go and watch it before you watch this podcast, because there will be spoilers.
Of course, there is always spoilers, but people know that going into the show as well. Yes. So if you haven't learned 201 episodes in, then I think you're damned to never quite learn, sadly, at the end of the day. But I mean, yeah, obviously, we did the preview show last week, didn't we? And as practice went on, Jamie, first of all, we're going to dive right into it, aren't we? Because we kind of covered everything going into the weekend in last week's show. It looked like on paper, McLaren, Ferrari, Red Bull were all going to be right in the fight this weekend. A bit like what we saw at COTA, but probably even closer.
Yeah probably. And Ferrari looked on it again. Obviously, the 1-2 in COTA. And yeah, they've really come on strong in the latter part of the season. You kind of had Mercedes strong for a little bit in the fight where Ferrari were chilling in 7th and 8th each week. And then, like, suddenly it's just kind of pendulum swung the other way. And Ferrari are back with those front two who've kind of been there or thereabouts most of the season since Miami. Red Bull arguably have been the third or fourth fastest car quite often in the last few races. But, it was set up to be a good one. And obviously, George Russell managed to bin his new upgrades off in practice too.
Yeah.
For the second week running, destroying an upgrade package. So that was very smart from him.
Yeah. But no, he had the old car though last weekend. He had the silver spec car
because he destroyed his new car in qualifying last weekend.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. USA. He binned it. Yeah. Sorry. I get you now. Obviously McLaren were the ones that looked like on Friday they would be the team to beat. Obviously, we had that extended second free practice session, didn't we, Jamie? For Pirelli to do some testing. Talk me through your kind of thoughts and feelings. Obviously, we sit down and watch every single session. So let me know.
I totally knew that they did that. I did. I watched the 3-minute highlight package on YouTube, I'll have you know. So
fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, Ollie Bearman and Alex Albon crashed. I know that.
They did? That was in Q1. In FP1.
That was in FP1, yeah.
And Robert Schwartzman got a 5-place grid penalty because of it.
He did.
Which he's got more penalties than race starts.
Yeah, that's actually impressive, now you think about it.
Yep.
I wonder if anyone else has ever done that.
I would have thought so.
That guy who didn't start and got disqualified and DNF'd.
Hans Heyer? Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Where have I pulled that from?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Wild.
Hans Heyer and Robert Schwartzman, they're both up there.
They are right up there, the pair of them. But yeah, like we said, obviously, Ferrari, Red Bull look right there. McLaren seemed to be the pace setters, though. But very, very quickly as we got into qualifying, well, I mean, it was drama right from the get-go, wasn't it? Sergio Perez hyped up. He's never been outside the top six in qualifying here in his Red Bull. Home Grand Prix, kind of everybody, kind of wanted to see him do well this weekend. And he immediately is out in Q1.
Yes, and not even close. He was 18th, wasn't he? And
yep.
Given that one of the cars he beat was Zhou Guanyu, who is a quali lap together to save his life.
Well, he's just 20th each week, isn't he? He's very consistent.
Yeah, he's very, very, very consistent. Consistency is key, as George Russell once taught us.
Yep.
He was... Like, Perez dropped an absolute stinker to have nowhere, not even much chat. He didn't have a lap deleted or anything, did he? He was just rubbish.
Yeah.
It was really bad. And to say, like, yeah, how much pressure he's been on, it kind of looked like he maybe turned a corner with Baku in Singapore, but then they're his good tracks, and he still got a DNF. And was he? Did he finish Singapore, but in like fifth or sixth?
It wasn't anywhere. Baku should have been. I'm not going to sit here.
Yeah.
I've given up with Sergio Perez. But Baku should have been a decent result. The fact he was quicker than Max basically all weekend, yes, and walked away with nothing to show for it was a bit sad. But Singapore.
I've got a stat for you.
Oh, here we go.
He has had, since he finished fourth in Miami.
Yep.
Which was round six.
Yep.
Since then, he has had one top six finish.
Oh, where was that? I'm trying to think. Austria?
That was in Zandvoort.
Oh, no, Zandvoort. Yeah.
Yes.
Wild.
Yeah, it was P10 in Singapore, so that was a great race for him as well. So, yeah, not great for Perez to be out in Q1, and obviously on a track that's so hard to follow and pass on. That was basically like all chances of any good result. Maybe you could sneak a point or two with a clean race. But joining him, which was definitely more of a shock, was Oscar Piastri for the second race in a row, or second race weekend. Obviously, he messed up sprint quali in COTA, and then messed up real quali in Mexico with an idiotic deletion, which, yeah, was not great for him.
Yeah, it was a really, really odd mistake, wasn't it?
P17?
Yep,
was it?
Just ahead of Checo Perez, yeah. P17 in the end. He obviously, unlike Checo, absolutely had the pace to see himself into Q2 quite comfortably. But yeah, first lap, I think he just made a bit of an error. Second lap, then he got invalidated, and it was kind of nip and tuck. Would he have had time to get back into the pit lane and get back out? He didn't want to risk it. The team didn't want to risk it. And yeah, by the time he did his third lap, obviously the tyres just weren't there anymore. I don't think he had quite the full disposal of the battery either. So yeah, Oscar Piastri, second weekend in a row where in a qualifying session, he's failed to see Q2. And that means now it is just Max Verstappen that has made it into Q3 in every single race weekend this year.
Which is pretty good going in the fourth fastest car.
Behave. So. And Red Bull has never been fourth fastest.
Oh, it has.
No, it hasn't. Where has that Red Bull been fourth fastest in qualifying?
Oh, maybe not in qualifying.
Exactly.
But in Monza, it was down there.
Yeah, it was, to be fair. I'll give you that one. Obviously, yeah, but like we said, they were joined by your perennial Q1 exiteer in Zhou Guanyu. Esteban Ocon, who just seemed to be a bit lackluster throughout all of qualifying.
For the second weekend in a row.
Yep.
Absolutely battered by Gasly.
He was.
Is noticing.
And after everyone said Alex Albon was clearly on, you know, kind of the risk of
fraud
being
watch.
Replaced yeah. by Franco Colapinto in the future after he binned it into Ollie Bearman on Friday night. Imagine for a second if Albon had gone out in Q1 and Colapinto made Q3. Instead, it was Colapinto out in Q1 and Albon in Q3, and no one spoke about it throughout the rest of the weekend.
It's almost because that's what's expected of these two drivers.
Exactly.
But yeah. Yeah, people love a headline. And
they do.
Argentinians love their driver. So
and
they're
they
try
love
and
giving Williams
it,
money. Williams have been raking in the money with all this as well. So good on for them, and James Vowles especially as well there. But Q2 would end up being a little bit more predictable, wouldn't it? In the end, apart from I don't think any of us saw Yuki Tsunoda stacking it right towards the end of the session. So that kind of ruined Q2 just when it could have potentially got a bit exciting. There could have been a couple of surprises.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It was anticlimax, wasn't it? You basically had the two Hasses go through to knock out the two RBs. And then, Tsunoda was getting towards the end of his lap and then red flagged it and no one else was going to improve. To be honest, I don't think Bottas or the Astons had the pace for Q3.
No.
But maybe Lawson or Tsunoda would have done and knocked out Albon or Gasly or one of the Hasses, but not to be.
Or Hülkenberg, because he was right on the
Tsunoda,
cusp, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't. Hülkenberg was ahead of Magnussen and Gasly in Q2.
Oh, in Q2, fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, we ignore what happened in Q3. But Lawson was a bit screwed by his teammate causing a red flag because, that makes it 1-1 in quali? Or no, 2-1. 2-0, doesn't it? Because he technically didn't qualify in COTA, but
yes,
Lawson probably would have outqualified Tsunoda. I have no evidence for that, but I'm just gonna say it would have happened.
Just vibes, Jamie. That's what you're basing on, is it? Fair enough. But I mean, we got to Q3, wasn't it? And despite the fact Ferrari had kind of been there all day long, we ended up with a repeat of last year. The clouds started to come in for Q3, and Ferrari and Carlos Sainz in particular just absolutely came alive, didn't he? Sainz, two laps good enough for pole position in the end.
Yeah.
No one could get anywhere near him.
No, it was crazy. And the first lap especially, was, what, 3 or 4 tenths ahead of anyone else?
Yeah.
And then on the second lap, some people closed in, but it was still wasn't close enough. And he went faster anyway. It was a proper, proper good performance by Sainz for his third ever pole. And I think, if I'm remembering rightly, the last two poles were not that good. One of them was Silverstone, where he had no purple sectors, wasn't it, in the wet?
To get a good lap in the wet like
Kota.
That. I thought it was Singapore, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was. He went pole to flag, didn't he, in Singapore? Yeah. Which is probably a fair enough lap to get pole at Singapore. But it was on the easy version, so you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, quality from Sainz. Absolutely quality. And to be fair to Verstappen, he had no business being second, I don't think, in that qualifying session. And he did very well to stick it on the front row ahead of Norris and Leclerc, who was very frustrated with himself for messing up his final lap and ending up in P4.
Well, he got his first Mercedes. Lap. Oh, no, Verstappen, wasn't it? Got his first
Verstappen
lap.
Verstappen got
removed,
his first lap deleted.
Yeah. So the pressure was really on right at the end. I think that Red Bull, though, over one lap, obviously, this is a very, very good track for Max as well. You know, it was still right there or thereabouts. And obviously, you know, it was a good lap time for him under pressure in a way that maybe Lando or Charles or even Carlos might have probably butchered their second run as well there. Mercedes just kind of seemed to be a little bit distant come the end of qualifying. Kevin Magnussen, fantastic effort in P7 to beat out Gasly, Hulkenberg, and then obviously Alex Albon rounding out our top 10. And that did shape us up, Jamie, for what could be quite an interesting race, couldn't it? Because obviously Mexico, I believe it is the longest run in towards turn one on the calendar.
Yeah, certainly up there, isn't it? Probably now Sochi's gone.
I was thinking, yeah, Sochi was probably one of the only ones that rivaled it. So starting on the second row here, not a bad shout. That's obviously Lando Norris, Charles Leclerc. They were looking, you know, potentially quite hungry. Talk me through the start.
Yeah, and much like last year again, really. Last year, Verstappen qualified third and then was leading just based off his launch. Not
Did
even
he qualify
extreme,
third last year? What's
Perez
third?
Yeah, it was a Ferrari
1-2. Oh, it was a Ferrari 1-2, wasn't it? Yeah, Checo got a good start from fourth or fifth.
From fifth on the grid. So you had Verstappen, the other one, launch off the line very well and get immediately alongside and ahead of Carlos Sainz. They were both kind of merging towards the inside of the track because obviously that's where they want to cover. And Norris just did a bit, I want to whisper it, but it was not great car placement to go to the inside and just box himself in because he had a lot of momentum from third on the grid in the slipstream. And then for some reason tried to follow Verstappen through when Verstappen's on the very inside, Sainz is in kind of the middle. So there's no space to get inside either of them. And if he'd gone to the outside, you know, obviously you're opening yourself up to being pushed off. But the momentum might have taken it then there because he did completely have to back off and lift because he was boxed in.
I think the problem I've got with that there is, like you're saying, he could have gone to the outside. Charles Leclerc was still just about alongside him. And obviously, turn one, when you're in a title fight like this, you don't want to get taken out.
Potentially.
Turn one at Mexico. So it was kind of a, you know, hindsight is a beautiful thing. But I'm kind of there going, there wasn't really a lot else he could have done.
It did just look a bit odd when he just chose.
Exactly. He was kind of, I'm going to try and put the car here. It's probably not going to work, but it's probably safer than anything else. Because generally speaking,
he wasn't going to get taken out there.
Well, generally speaking, being on the inside for turn one is probably the best place to be, wasn't it? As we found out almost immediately. Because obviously Gasly, Albon and Tsunoda would all come together. And it would mean Tsunoda had quite a high speed crash, didn't he? Down in towards turn one. The wheel came straight off. It was lucky it didn't really collect anybody else seriously. But immediately we had two cars out at turn one.
Yeah, and I think it was a racing incident, but if anyone was to be apportioned blame, it would have been Tsunoda.
It would have been Gasly.
He was very ambitious. No, Gasly, why would he expect there to be two cars outside?
Well, why on earth would Tsunoda expect Gasly to move over on everybody? I think it was optimistic by Yuki, but I think if you're going to try and...
so late.
Well, I think if you're going to try and apportion blame to anybody, you'd say it was the guy that didn't give the others any room. It was a racing incident, but you're trying to victim blame here, Jamie.
Wow, I think that was ambition over adhesion, to borrow a quote from Martin Brundle, from Tsunoda, to try and outbreak five cars, and he got his just rewards. And yeah, out at turn one, along with Alex Albon, Gasly got away with it, but I don't think he did anything wrong. He was just driving in a straight line.
And he wasn't driving in a straight line, he moved over.
I will have to do a VAR check on that, because my instant reaction was Gasly was fine and within his rights to just be driving, and Tsunoda was the one to go for the move and mess it up. But we'll have another look. Maybe I'm wrong. Let us know what you think in the comments.
Don't get me wrong, I'm not going to try to sit here and say it was Pierre Gasly's fault, but you're trying to apportion blame there, and Gasly moved over. But I mean, yeah,
fair enough.
Tsunoda, like you said, he was being a bit optimistic. He was trying to be the hero down in towards turn one. And apparently that's the second time that Tsunoda's been out before turn one in Mexico, which is quite impressive as well. But it was also, obviously, with all that going on, people kind of ignored the fact that Max, obviously, down the inside of Sainz at turn one, just completely ran Sainz off the road. So obviously Sainz had to cut through the grass at turn two and then gave up the place ready at turn four. And obviously with the safety car called out immediately, obviously it meant that the field was neutralised. And Sergio Perez, home Grand Prix, out in Q1, now can't even start the car in the right place and picked himself up a 5-second penalty.
Yes, and lived in denial that it wasn't that they were wrong.
Well, to be fair, they said he jumped the start. Technically, he didn't as such, but he had.
Yeah, he didn't jump the lights, but he did park in the wrong place. So,
how many Grand Prix has
rightful,
he got?
Well,
like 250? 260? Yeah.
He is on 277 starts.
Wow.
Will he see 300?
No.
But yes, so Perez actually had quite a good start. He was up to about 12.
He gained five spots, I believe.
And yes, maybe because he was 5 meters ahead of his box. Maybe not 5 meters. He was a little bit ahead of his box. And that was that for him. He got a 5-second penalty, but it wasn't that totally, because a 5-second in a Red Bull is not that bad.
No.
When you're racing against like Saubers and Racing Bulls and stuff. So.
Oh, one yeah. Racing
also,
Bull.
Note on turn one. Max barging Sainz off. Clearly the FIA, we spoke about this last week, are idiotic for not clamping down on this for 8 years. And this is what they've created. And Max Verstappen is shameless and will play to the rules that he's been given, despite how morally right they are or not. So he did nothing wrong by the rules in turn one. Obviously it's rude and you wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of it, but there's nothing wrong with turn one in my mind.
Well, as I've said for so long now, if I was a Formula One driver going up against Verstappen in that scenario, I would quite happily crash with him every single time until he learns that I'm just not going to back out of it. Like, seriously. I know, obviously, Russell tried it a couple of times in the last couple of years, but I would just going for the mindset of, if you don't give me space, mate, we're having a crash every single time, and he's going to at some point learn to back out of it.
Yeah.
Which, of course, in a hypothetical world. Yeah.
Yeah. With Sainz and with Norris, I guess, we'll get on to. They both knew that they had faster cars. So, like,
exactly.
If you do just let him throw his toys out the pram at turn one, you're going to beat him anyway, because the Red Bull's shocking on race pace at the minute.
Well, you didn't know that in the first three quarters of the
you
race.
Didn't.
But, yeah,
didn't,
as we found out later on, the Red Bull... Well, I mean, obviously, the safety car came out, didn't it? Came back in on lap seven. We kind of all expected, I think, to a certain degree, for Max just to start pulling away from Sainz. And that just instantly did not happen, did it? And it took, what, Sainz one racing lap before he got bypassed?
Yeah. Well, it was weird because Max tore away on the restart lap. He was 1 point something clear.
1.1,
start,
I think it was, at the
to start the
point.
Second lap.
Yeah.
And then he basically had used all his battery up immediately to try and break the DRS. And then as soon as the second lap came around, Sainz was faster. So got back in that DRS zone and was not taking any prisoners as soon as he got an opportunity to pass.
Yeah, just absolutely. Well, he took Max, I think, a little bit by surprise, didn't he, with a late move to the inside down in turn one. It was beautiful. It was clean. Verstappen kind of accepted it. Well, I think the problem for Verstappen there is I think he forgot, and I'm not sure how I feel about it still, Jamie, but Mexico, obviously, turn the first two DRS zones are both from the same detection point, aren't they?
I don't love it, to be honest.
I think I still do, simply because I feel like they changed it a few years ago, didn't they? Because it meant if you got the run pass over, they just come straight back past you at turn four. So I think it gives you a chance to actually get ahead and stay ahead.
I just say get one DRS zone then, because there's no point in handing the advantage again to Sainz advance towards turn four, you might as well have them on level playing field at least.
No, so even, if you do, you're just a salty Max fan this weekend. You don't like it because your driver was a stinker. And I mean, well, I'd say Sainz got past him, didn't he? Max was already on the radio screaming that he had no battery. And then it got even worse for him because one lap later, down in towards turn four, Lando Norris completely outbrakes him. Max goes, I'm going to do what I always do. Get ahead at the apex, force him off the road, my corner, haha, simply lovely. Lando doesn't back out
of it.
Not
the case.
Max never got fully in front, barges Lando off the road, and then, Jamie, what on earth was turn seven?
Yeah, I can't even begin to defend this, to be honest. I was just annoyed at Verstappen, to be honest, because it was stupid. Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. To be honest, turn four, I think, is a split second. Like, you're going to do what you always do in that situation, in that try and get the apex, and by the rules, which are dumb, as we've documented, play to them, try and get ahead and force them off. No harm done, like in COTA. Well, no harm done to you.
Exactly. You don't care what happens to the other person.
Yeah, exactly. Which is not right, morally, but it's how the FIA have allowed things to go, so you're going to play by that.
Well, apparently, I was going to say about this quickly, also Sport have released an article this afternoon, I don't know if you've seen this, but obviously, they are going to be changing the rules for 2025 surrounding this. But 19 of the 20 drivers voted in favour of them changing it for this weekend. Only one driver.
I wonder who that was.
I wonder who that was.
I mean, if you were Max, you would, wouldn't you? You would decline it because it's in your favour. Like, he is a ruthless competitor.
That's an interesting way of just describing someone that's a dick behind the wheel, but okay. I'm just going to say it.
It's a fine line, isn't it? I mean,
it's not a fine line. It's just awful. Like, it's not entertaining or fun.
The drivers who stop at nothing to win. So I love the Michael Schumachers of the world. And like the dark arts of any sport, to be honest. So like watching Argentina in the World Cup in 22, where they just started kicking all the Dutch players to waste time. I'm like, yes, that's what I want. It's not fair. It's not right.
Oh, mate, you're so slimy and horrible. No, you want... Sport should be honourable to a certain degree.
But you love Ayrton Senna.
Yeah, but that... I had this argument with someone a couple of days ago about Ayrton Senna. The difference I
defend have... Japan 1990 at Turn 1.
Japan 19... Well, that was because of FIA politics giving Prost 1989, wasn't it? And I'm not going to try and sit here and defend
But
that
it was still
one.
A tactical but, foul, wasn't it?
But my point with Senna, though, which I think people fail to see, why people respected him for it when Verstappen doesn't, is... And as Nigel Mansell said, Ayrton Senna never went into a Formula 1 race where he wasn't willing to put his life on the line to win. That was why it was kind of... Not necessarily, you know, the right thing to do or anything. Like, clearly, obviously, wasn't the right thing to do, otherwise he wouldn't have died. But
right.
But obviously, the difference there being was Senna took that risk knowing that was a possibility.
That was a real risk
at that time. And in kind of doing that, it's often how it was kind of described with NASCAR, why it was so entertaining in the 90s and 2000s as well. When there is that real risk of danger... Your competitors kind of respect you for it to a certain degree as well. The fans kind of respect you for it because there's that risk that someone could die. It's not that fans, you know, were watching it hoping someone will or expecting someone to or anything like that. But nowadays, it's kind of with Max, no one's going to get seriously injured. And all these people banging on, oh, about his 52G crash at Silverstone and all this, that, and the other. And now Lewis sent him to the hospital. It was precautionary checks. It wasn't that he was actually injured or anything. But obviously, when you kind of do it nowadays, it's not like life...
It's not life or
it's
death.
It's not a life on the line or anything like that.
But then you can't really blame Max
slimy.
For that. Just for being born in 1997 instead of...
No, I'm not saying I'm blaming him that for being born... But if he'd been born in 1957, Jamie, he'd be dead. I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
He wouldn't have made it to Formula 1, would he?
Exactly.
Yeah. I can't defend Turn 7. It was dumb. It was maybe he thought that Lando was letting him through, but regardless, it was a tactical foul. It was blow the belt, and I think he knew he was in the mud from turn four, so just was like, "Let me get Lando as far away from this race win as possible." And it handed P2 to Leclerc, so I guess in that sense it worked.
I refuse to believe that he did that consciously, though. I refuse to believe like, he dived in thinking, oh, well, I'll let Shell get through. Oh, it was complete... But the fact of the matter is, Jamie, that a professional athlete like that should not be falling foul to red mist moments like that.
I'm sure a lot of drivers do it, though.
Can you think of many examples with other drivers at the top of the sport?
What, Michael Schumacher?
No, I'm talking about the last 10 years or so.
Okay. Yeah, other than I'm thinking Maldonado at Monaco.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you're seriously, if your only comparison is Maldonado,
Perez,
then you've got real problems.
At Singapore when he drove into Sorokin for no reason.
That was an odd one, wasn't it?
That was an odd one.
I mean, I was even just trying to cover him off, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm just misjudging it. But yeah, I don't think Max was like enraged and trying to take Lando out. I think he was trying to.
Oh no, I think it was completely. I'm going down the inside here.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of, I think honestly his mindset in that moment is, I don't give a shit what happens coming out of this corner.
Yeah.
If we're both out, I don't care. He's got one less race to try and beat me in the title.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where
the
problem lies.
It was basically, well, if Lando's beating me anyway, I might as well do something stupid to cost him as many points as possible.
Yeah.
Which is not sportsmanlike.
No.
It's not. And like he said in an interview, didn't he? I'll have to go and find the quote, but he was basically
Lando lost points out as well. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's where I take umbrage to it as well, because it's just slimy, unsportsmanlike, and it's one of those things that I don't really like with Max, is he'll kind of try and play it off as, oh, you know, well, I'm, you know, trying to play the numbers game and doing all this, that, and the other. And you're kind of going, drive quicker. You know, if you haven't got the car
well,
to drive quicker.
Driving quite quickly.
If you haven't got the car to drive quicker, you're kind of there going, you know, you can't kind of play that game. There's only a certain amount you can play that game, annoyingly. That's where I kind of struggle with it.
I think that's how we differ, because I do love that. And like stuff like Schumacher stopping at nothing to win world championships. Like, obviously, at the time, it feels really unsportsmanlike. And yes, it probably is. It definitely is. But that kind of winning mentality, I do like in an athlete a lot. I got the quote up now. It says, maybe without the penalties, I could have finished in front of the Mercedes.
Yes,
but then Lando probably would have won the race.
Yeah, I don't like that.
But to be fair, like, I guess there is a difference. It was, in the end, it was second versus sixth, wasn't it? Which is 10 points. And it would have been first and fourth, probably. Which is 13 points.
I genuinely don't think Lando would have beat Sainz anyway, to be fair. So I think that point is... ultimately
yeah,
a little
not.
Bit irrelevant, but still, yeah, it was a bit of a it's just one of those things where it's kind of there going, he just doesn't really respect the sport. That's my issue with it at the end of the day.
It kind of just makes a mockery, can't they?
Exactly. I personally think 20 seconds penalties for both of 10 seconds for each of those instances. I laughed. I loved it. I don't care what any Max fan says in the comments about me being biased or not. Absolutely deserved, and I don't think they've got to start throwing the book at him about this, and I hope they continue to do so to the end of the year. At the end of the day,
yeah. To be honest, I agree. I laughed a lot less, but the penalties were fair, and I think Max probably knew they were coming.
I don't think he thought it would have been 20 seconds worth. I think he was hoping
20,
for a five
yeah.
and maybe a five and nothing.
I kind of expected a nothing and a ten. I thought turn four was on the limit. But stuff he's got away with in the past.
Well, it was like Vegas last year, wasn't it? Turn one. Because Leclerc was very clever there in never letting Max be in front.
Yes. Yeah. I do think without turn seven, he probably gets away with turn four. I don't know what you think on that. Because I think...
Yeah, you're probably right, to be honest.
Like, what he did
at turn
seven...
I think if
Lando
had kept the place, yeah.
Yeah. What he did at turn seven was a lot worse than what he did at turn four, in my mind.
Yeah.
And it showed that he was not here to mess around and he's just here to barge people off.
Well, turn four without turn seven
looks a lot better.
Exactly. Turn four was just overly aggressive. Turn seven was just stupidity at the end of the day.
Yes.
That's exactly. You're kind of saying about this from a guy, we'll see, a three-time world champion.
Yeah.
You're kind of there. Well, hopefully not, but we'll wait and see. But, I mean, to be honest though, Jamie, the bit of the sad bit was kind of after this... The rest of the Grand Prix was quite boring, wasn't it, really?
Yes. And people are saying it was a classic. It really wasn't. I'm not going to lie.
There was a little bits and pieces, but it was a quintessential ground effect era race, wasn't it? Of
Mexican Grand Prix.
Well, Mexican Grand Prix as well. Of just everyone waits for the DRS. I mean, the only real highlights we had after this was obviously Perez just continuing to shoot himself in the foot throughout the rest of the afternoon. Had some beef with Liam Lawson. They made contact, which, to be fair, was, I think, kind of a little bit of Lawson as well, going, yeah, I'm going to bully you. A bit like Yuki did last week, of, we're both coming out of your seat.
But Lawson was within his rights to do what he did.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then, say, one lap later, Perez then would stroll. I'm staggered Perez didn't get a penalty for this one on Lance Stroll.
Yeah, same.
Because he did exactly the same to what Max did to Lando earlier on. And somehow got away with that one. I wonder as well, Jamie, I forgot to say this earlier on. Do you reckon he's slightly ahead of the grid box was a, it's my home Grand Prix, surely they'll let me get away with this?
No. It's the sort of thing that it's just a misjudgment, isn't it? It's a stupid error, but yeah. I just love that he was living in denial, even when they had, like, the FIA have given you a penalty, and he's like, no, check, I wasn't ahead. Yeah. And it's like, we've literally got
pictures.
They
can see it from other angles, mate.
How did Bro get caught in 4K?
Yeah, just bizarre, wasn't it? I mean, I think this will probably be my favourite 24 seconds of the entire season. Is watching Max in the pit lane on lap 27 take both of those penalties.
Yeah.
And I
didn't
just
know you
then
could take both penalties.
I didn't know you could, to be honest. But it's because no one ever has two penalties stacked up like that. Is why we didn't know.
Did he get penalty points for them as well?
He got two penalty points on his licence for the second one, I believe, but not the first. So he's up to six.
That's probably fair.
Yeah. But, I mean, kind of, yeah.
The Perez and Lawson incident, yeah. Perez lost a bit of side pod during that. By trying to barge Lawson off, and he wasn't having any of it, which I rate a lot because, you know, Lawson will be driving that car quite soon.
Yep, gave Perez the middle finger when he overtook him later on, which I thought was hilarious.
I don't think there's very many drivers that we both agree we like a lot. I think Liam Lawson's that guy.
I'd say there's a fair bit of overlap.
You like Hülkenberg these days, don't you?
I don't like Hülkenberg, but I think he's doing a good job. I think the problem we have nowadays is that we normally dislike a driver because the other one likes him. it's more fun maybe. That way.
It is.
But I mean, yeah, Lawson is just, yeah, good. Kind of. Well, it made me laugh because obviously Perez after the race, I don't know if you read this, but he did an interview kind of saying, you know, Alonso was annoyed with Lawson last week, you know, he needs to watch himself. And you're kind of going, no, mate, you're just upset, so was Fernando. You're two old guys getting dogged on by this kid. Like, get a grip of Perez, yeah.
A little bit. And also Perez trying to mug off Lawson later in the race when he had some contact with Colapinto.
Yeah.
And he was like on the radio, this idiot crashing again, ha ha ha. When you're literally last in a Red Bull.
Exactly.
At your home race.
I think Checo must have been saying that behind tears, mustn't they?
Yeah.
We had, obviously, Lewis and George were kind of some of the only entertainment throughout most of the rest of the afternoon because they were always battling in a battle of the different cars. And obviously, I mean, most of the second half of the race, wasn't it, was just kind of Oscar and Max making their ways back through. Until we did have one last moment, didn't we, Jamie, of Charles Leclerc. After I tweeted last week about how I finally feel he's not going to crack under pressure, immediately cracked under pressure.
Yeah, and it was actually a very impressive save.
It was towards the end.
Lando was catching him, closed the gap for about 5 seconds after the stops to right on his tail. And probably Lando was going to get him into turn one anyway, but coming out the last corner, Leclerc was so determined to get a good exit that he got a bit of wheel spin and almost did a Bottas from 2019 qualifying, but kept out of the wall. Very, very dusty out there. And obviously Lando got the place, but Leclerc kept it with four wheels on the car and had to settle for third place. And there was a bit of jeopardy, or at least Sky were trying to hype up that Norris could catch 8 seconds on Sainz in eight laps.
I think Sainz
never going to happen.
Just in control. Well, I was to say, the fact that we haven't really spoken about Sainz since lap 9 goes to show how in control he was, wasn't he? Because it was one of those, it was a Carlos Sainz win, wasn't it, of he's kind of there or thereabouts throughout most of the year, and then he just gets one weekend where everything clicks. And it just honestly was probably the fastest man out there and rightly deserved to be.
Yeah, similar to Melbourne, really, where once he got the lead, he just drove off. Yeah. That was it. He didn't see him.
Comfortable. Lando would claim P2 though in the end, wouldn't he? Charles Leclerc would claim P3 with fastest lap. Mercedes just weren't really there. The fact that Lewis Hamilton walked away with a P4 finish kind of is impressive in itself.
It's flattering.
Beating out George, Max Verstappen, Magnussen a brilliant weekend by him.
Yeah.
Ahead of Oscar Piastri, yeah. Hulkenberg, and Gasly as our top 10. So, I mean, most of your so top 10 were exactly points. What they were in qualifying, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, you just had Piastri coming back through, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
But Haas getting 8 points and RB getting none.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over. It's all over for RB, I think.
It probably is, like, unless you get a 2021 style Abu Dhabi where they're fourth and fifth. But, yeah, it's over 10 points now, is it?
Haas are on 46, RB are on 36. I mean, I'm looking at this, Jamie. Haas need just one miracle result. Aston Martin, 40 points ahead. That would be incredible. If Haas got like a double podium in Vegas or something.
Yeah.
Got like 30 points.
How many podiums have Magnussen and Hülkenberg got in a combined 500 races?
One. To be fair to Magnussen, at one point he did have a 100% podium, right?
He did.
Yeah. I love the fact he always seems to just get better when he knows he hasn't got a drive next year.
Yeah, it's true. Well, it's like the pressure's off, isn't it? He's not trying.
Well, if he'd done this earlier on in the year, he would have absolutely been kept on. I wonder if Haas now a little bit gutted that they're signing Ocon. I'm still staggered they did, to be honest. I still feel this is a bit weird.
It is a bit weird. But Ocon had nowhere to go, did he? He was definitely getting dropped. And, like, it's like, if you're going to have Magnussen or Ocon, a pretty similar caliber drivers right now.
Yeah, Ocon's just younger, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Magnussen, I can't wait to see him just tear up IMSA again in GTP cars, to be honest. I'm looking forward to that.
That'd be great. Yeah. Do your worst.
Exactly. But, I mean, yeah, it was an okay race, wasn't it? Like I said, I think it was kind of just completely highlighted by those couple of incidents, wasn't it? Yeah. But it does mean now Ferrari, Jamie, they are really making a march towards the championship, aren't they? 29 points back from McLaren and 25 ahead of Red Bull. Jamie, 183. Your Constructors' World Champions of 2024 will be...
McLaren.
You're still going to say it, are you? Actually, I hope in a weird way it is McLaren, because it gives Ferrari more wind tunnel time next year for Lewis.
That's true. Yeah, I think it'll be tight. And Piastri's form has been concerning.
It hasn't been that bad. It was this weekend, yeah, it was a bit bad. But last weekend, he did all right in the Grand Prix. It was just sprint quality bottom. What was it, fifth?
Was it? It was fifth in the Grand Prix.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, yeah, a couple of bad qualities in a row. And like...
Yeah, I think they've both been a little
Ferrari
bit...
Ferrari had a 1-2 and a 1-3, haven't they?
Yeah, I think Ferrari are just cooking on all cylinders at the moment, which is good for the team at Maranello. And I mean, Jamie...
And, yeah.
It segues us nicely into our quiz.
Oh no.
Ferrari and McLaren battling for the world championship. You've got a fairly easy quiz, I feel like, for you this week.
Okay.
When was the last time, Jamie, Ferrari and McLaren battled for the championship like this?
On their own, or probably, I'm guessing you're saying 08.
I am going to say 08. Ferrari 2010, 2012, they weren't really there. Or Massa wasn't really there. You've got 90 seconds, Jamie, I'm going to say.
Okay.
To name me every single driver that competed in the 2008 season.
Okay.
Your time starts now.
Hamilton, Kovalainen,
yes.
Massa, Raikkonen.
Yes.
Heidfeld, Kubica.
Yes.
Alonso, Piquet.
Yes. You're doing this very methodically. I like it.
Weber, Coulthard.
Yes.
Vettel, Bourdais.
Yes.
Rosberg, Nakajima.
Yes.
Davidson, Sato.
Yes.
Button, Barrichello.
Yes.
How many more teams are there?
You've got two more teams.
Glock and Trulli.
Yes. You got 40 seconds left.
One more team. Oh, no. Fisichella, Sutil.
Well done.
That was easy.
It was easy. I thought it would be for you, but I thought we'd do a trip.
No, 07, there were loads of random other drivers.
07, there was a bit more. Yeah, that's all 22. You nailed it.
There was no replacement drivers.
No replacement drivers in 08. It's a bit odd because 7 and 9, there were quite a few, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
2007,
there were 28 drivers.
2007 saw 26 drivers, although technically Marcus Winkelhock isn't classified. Because he never finished the Grand Prix.
More laps led than most of the drivers.
Exactly. Yeah, and then 2009 obviously had quite a few as well. I'll tell you what, Jamie, we need to do a podcast at some point about the ridiculous 2007 Super Aguri. Because I forgot just how that car was.
Yeah.
And then
Sato passing Alonso in Canada 07.
Well, it was
insane.
The fact that they made it into Q3 at Australia. Just first race of the year, they were on, they were rapid. Which is such a segue down a random rabbit hole that we don't need to be doing today.
Not at all.
Driver of the day, Jamie. I think it's pretty easy. It's between two drivers, isn't it? It's Sainz and Kevin Magnussen. Probably Sainz.
Oh, it's got to be Max Verstappen. No, Carlos Sainz. I'll give it Carlos.
I think Carlos Sainz is fair. Magnussen definitely the second one as well there. Race rating?
I don't like how much hype this race is getting.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm salty, but it wasn't great. Like, you had the flashpoint, and after that, it was rubbish.
It was pretty boring. I think, honestly, it was a bit like Australia. So I'm going to say six. Yeah, I'm going to say six and a half.
I'll say six and a half as well. That's similar to Imola.
Yeah.
And Melbourne. We definitely rated Japan too highly looking back at this.
We did, yeah. I can't remember anything.
Worse than USA. I agree with that.
Yep.
And
better than Zandvoort. So, fair.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. I don't know why our Singapore ratings never appeared, Jamie. You must have missed those.
I know, we didn't. We must have missed them.
You're gonna have to write those back in at some point.
I know.
The last thing we've got to do then, Jamie, we kind of smashed through, haven't we? Predictions recap.
Yes. I'm just updating the prediction thing. The race rating, sorry.
Good man.
Prediction recap. I was losing.
You were.
This race weekend.
68-64 in my favour.
Indeed. We were both really boring, actually. We predicted the same podium.
We did. Just in a different order, we should add.
Yeah. I went for Charles Leclerc and pole.
Wrong Ferrari. 0 points.
Max Verstappen win.
0 points.
Charles Leclerc second.
1 point.
One. And Lando Norris third, which will also get me 1 point.
2 points. Not a good week.
You put Max Verstappen on pole.
0 points.
Lando Norris to win the race.
1 point.
Max Verstappen second.
0 points.
And you scabbed a set of 2 points out of the car.
I feel like I've become the new GB183.
You
3 points.
A snake.
3 points to me, sir.
So not much change, really. 3-2.
Yep. But a 5 point buffer,
Jamie. I'm going to have to start being a bit rogue, aren't I?
You're going to have to try and scrape something out of this towards the end of the year.
I might start letting you go first, just so I can go different.
Fair enough. I would embrace that towards the end of the year.
We'll see. We'll see on Friday or Thursday what I say.
Exactly. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie? We've kind of smashed through this, haven't we?
We did smash through that. I mean, yeah, because the race is quite uneventful, as we know.
Well, apart from everything that happened inside three laps.
Yes, yeah, that was it really, wasn't it? Alonso's 400 race ended up in a debilitating failure for him.
Just like his 300th, fun fact.
Just like his 300th, yeah. He just retires early every time it's a milestone.
Yeah, only 600 more to go for Alonso.
Isn't that mad? When was F1000?
Shanghai 2019, so we're up over 1100 now.
But still, Alonso's getting on for
he's competing
well
in more than
a
third of a Grand Prix ever hosted.
So if you picked an F1 race from history at random,
yep.
There's more than a 1 in 3 chance that Alonso competed it.
Yes.
That's mad.
But it's also just, again, about how many races there are. The fact that you could pick a race from the last 2 years, and there's been pretty much as many Grand Prix as there were throughout the entire 1950s.
Well, yeah. It's true. Hülkenberg is extending his lead to Stroll in P10 in the championship. So
wow.
That's big news.
What's that gap, sir?
7 points in Hülkenberg's favour.
Fair enough. It just takes Aston Martin to get good again like they did at the end of last year. Because they were pretty much in this position at this time last year, and then they got a couple of podiums, didn't they?
Right, yeah, Brazil.
And admittedly, neither of them were Stroll, but still. When was Stroll's last podium?
20.
He hasn't had a ground effect one, has he?
No,
2021? No, he didn't get one in 2021. 2020? Yeah, he must have been 2020, surely.
Would have been Monza 2020, wouldn't it?
No, your Checo win.
Oh,
Bahrain.
Yeah, he got one at Sakhir, didn't he?
Yeah. That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, he's only ever had three in a car that his teammates have probably got about 12 in that time.
Pretty much. Well, Alonso got back that last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Wild. Absolutely wild.
Perez must have about five in 2020, didn't he?
Yeah, Perez did really well in 2020. Red Bull has absolutely crippled his career. Exactly, it's mad.
Well, they revived it. I mean, he was maybe out of the sport in 21, if not for
Britain. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, and he did well in 2021 and 2.
He's just got worse and every year, hasn't he? It feels like in comparison to Max, he's just got further away from him, which is a bit of a shame. As well, always,
is it?
Yeah, I'd say so. Because I mean, he could still end up somewhere else in the future, but I'm not convinced anymore. I don't think anyone wants to touch damaged goods, really. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you aren't already, please do make sure you get yourself sub. We're celebrating Valtteri Bottas because we're at 770 subscribers now. So hopefully we'll get to 777 very soon as well. We want to hit 1k by the end of the year. That's the big goal. So please do consider dropping us a sub before the end of the year. Jamie, as always, it has been a pleasure. And we will return later on this week, hopefully, with more Knowing Wheel.